WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with David Schwartz, curator of film at the American Museum of the Moving Image in New York, and co-curator of its internet exhibition, The Living Room Candidate. It features over 250 presidential campaign ads from every election year, beginning with 1952, when the first TV campaign ads were broadcast. You can find the exhibition at the website movingimage.us. When we left off, we were talking about Reagan's political ads. Now, the most famous political campaign of the Reagan era was the Morning in America ad, which is, I think it's fair to say, one of the more famous political ads in political ad history. This was in the 1984 re-election campaign. Again, I'm going to ask you to describe what's happening visually before we hear it.
Basically, we're seeing a montage of images. It's almost like a moving Norman Rockwell painting. We're seeing a sort of white picket fence series of shots of people in a small suburban town going about their business. It's very upbeat and positive. We don't see Ronald Reagan in the ad. And when you, if you're just watching the ad, it could be for almost anything. It could be an ad for an insurance company, a beverage, any kind of product. It's an upbeat, positive-looking idealized view of America.
Okay, let's hear it now. And this is the Morning in America ad for the Reagan campaign in 1984.
It's morning again in America. Today, more men and women will go to work than ever before in our country's history. With interest rates at about half the record highs of 1980, nearly 2,000 families today will buy new homes, more than at any time in the past 4 years. This afternoon, 6,500 young men and women will be married. And with inflation at less than half of what it was just 4 years ago, they can look forward with confidence to the future. It's morning again in America. And under the leadership of President Reagan, our country is prouder and stronger and better. Why would we ever want to return to where we were less than four short years ago?
It's the Reagan campaign 1984 Morning in America ad. What is your reaction to listening to that ad like 20 years after it was made?
What's interesting about looking back at these ads is that they really evoke what the campaign was all about. You know, even though these are 1 minute or 30 second ads, this Morning in America ad really encapsulates and summarizes what the Reagan presidency and the re-election campaign was all about. It was really, you know, premised on this idea of optimism, and that's what this ad evokes. I mean, what it evokes is why people like Reagan and why he won that landslide re-election. So that's one thing that these ads really do, the ads in our exhibition. They just evoke a time, and they evoke the key issues and feelings of the campaign.
I don't know if you'll agree with this, but just in terms of like the music and the announcer's voice, it just kind of exemplifies what middle of the road meant. That kind of soothing, non-inflected voice with that muzak-y music behind it. And I think now in 2004, if you see a movie or hear an audio track that's meant to parody a certain type of earlier middle-of-the-road sound, that's the kind of sound it would try to evoke.
Yeah, that voice that you're hearing is Hal Reiney, who had done hundreds of ads for all sorts of products. It was a very familiar voice, that particular voice that you heard. And
wait, no, he's actually an advertiser, isn't he? He's not just like an announcer.
I'm sorry. Yes, Hal Reiney was a creator of ads. He was an ad producer, but he had a great voice.
I didn't realize he did his own voices.
And he did this voiceover. This is Hal Reiney that you're listening to. Yeah, it's true. The ads really use sort of the tricks and tools of their time, and they can tend to look a little bit dated. So you can look back at the old ads and say, how did they get away with that technique? You know, the techniques become kind of transparent over time, but they work. And, you know, you couldn't always get away with the Morning in America kind of ad, but it just happened to work at this time in 1984. The country had gone through the traumas of Vietnam and Watergate, And the country really wanted to believe this ad. They wanted to believe it was Morning in America. Now, if you tried to do a Morning in America campaign this year, I don't think it would ring true. I don't think the general feeling now is that it's Morning in America.
4 years after the Reagan ad that we just heard, Michael Dukakis took out an ad saying that he had it with George H.W. Bush's misleading ads. What was Dukakis reacting against?
Dukakis was reacting against a number of really strong attack ads. The 1988 campaign was very, very nasty. The Bush campaign that year was headed by Roger Ailes. And Dukakis was in very solid shape after the Democratic convention, about 17 points up in the polls. And the ads were just very, very strong. It was a classic campaign where the Republicans tried to paint the Democrat as a weak Massachusetts liberal, which I guess we're hearing again a lot this year. And there was one ad in particular that really got Dukakis upset, where he was, they used a photo opportunity where Dukakis was riding around in a tank in a military helmet. I mean, everybody can visualize this ad, I think, because it's been replayed so many times. And the ad ridiculed the idea of Dukakis's commander-in-chief and said that he was going to cut all these important defense programs. Factually, the ad was untrue. I mean, it was making claims that were just plain not true. But what was really effective was this image of Dukakis in a tank and the idea that he would look kind of silly as commander-in-chief.
So let's listen to this 1988 Dukakis ad. And again, before we do, I'm going to ask you to describe what we would be seeing if we were, in fact, watching it.
What we're going to be seeing is an angry Michael Dukakis turning off the TV set after having watched a Bush attack ad against him. And he's in a white shirt, sort of the Harry Truman look, you know, plain speaking, tough guy, tough, angry Democrat, and he's talking directly to the camera, directly to the voter.
Okay, let's hear it in 1988.
I'm fed up with it. Haven't seen anything like it in 25 years of public life, George Bush's negative TV ads, distorting my record, full of lies, and he knows it. I'm on the record for the very weapon systems his ads say I'm against. I want to build a strong defense. I'm sure he wants to build a strong defense. So this isn't about defense issues. It's about dragging the truth into the gutter, and I'm not going to let them do it. This campaign is too important. The stakes are too high for every American family. The real question is, will we have a president who fights for the privileged few, or will we have a president who fights for you? George Bush wants to give the wealthiest 1% of the people in this country a new tax break worth $30,000 a year. I'm fighting for you and your family, for affordable housing and health care, for better jobs, for the best education and opportunity for our children. It's a tough fight. I know that. Uphill all the way. But I'm going to keep on fighting because what I'm fighting for is our future.
A Michael Dukakis campaign ad in 1988. Well, this is a very literal counterattack. I mean, he's watching the TV with the ad against him. He turns it off, says to the audience, this is misleading. They're misrepresenting me. How do you think it played? Do you have any idea if it registered on the American public? I'm sure it's what a lot of candidates would like to do. You know what I mean? Who feel that they've been misrepresented by an ad.
Well, what's really interesting about this ad is that Dukakis had been criticized earlier in the campaign for not responding to attacks. He was being attacked every day by the Bush campaign, and he wasn't fighting back. And then he decided to fight back. And I think the problem with fighting back and being so direct in your response is that you can start to look defensive. You know, if you go on the air responding to every single attack, it puts you in a defensive position. And I think what's really interesting is to compare the John Kerry strategy this year to the Dukakis strategy in 1988, because we're hearing the same exact attacks from the Republicans. And one of the real interesting things when you look at the ads from 1952 to the present is there are some very basic strategies that are used over and over again. The Republicans love to say that they're strong on military and that if you vote for the Democrat, they're going to cut our defense system and they'll be weak. And they love to say that that they're going to cut your taxes. The Democrats love to say, we're going to fight for the average person. And that's what you hear in this ad. And that's what you hear over and over again. And we're hearing the same exact issues and themes coming up in this year's election.
Well, David Schwartz, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure.
David Schwartz is curator of film at the American Museum of the Moving Image in New York and co-curator of its internet exhibition of political campaign ads, The Living Room Candidate. You can find the exhibition at movingimage.us.